reading to you from the 1 Peter, 1st chapter, 6th verse. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Now, I have a special prayer request tonight. This last week, I have been terribly under the weather. My blood sugar jumped out of control on me, and I've been really going through it. But, you know, I've asked people to pray, and I'm doing my dead level best to do what's right. I mean, eat right and all these things. But, you know, we need to pray for one another. You pray for me, I pray for my real listening family. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of ice to your cup of coffee? Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and with the 5th verse, only one verse. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Label this evangelism, where has it gone? Evangelism, what a wonderful, wonderful word. It speaks of obeying the Great Commission found in Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Beloved, I built my life on this verse of Scripture. My first church, I preached that. I'm sure they got awful tired of it. But, oh, beloved, if you're a born-again believer, read that over again. And Jesus said, "I have the authority." And he said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded." You know one of the commands, he said, "Love one another as I have loved you." Evangelism is a tremendous situation in that every born-again believer should be involved in evangelism. You say, "Oh, come on, Cecil. I am so timid. I'm very timid." So you're timid. Well, what do we do about timidity? Well, I'll tell you what you do. If you really are timid, it's not false humility. Ask the Lord to help you and give you spiritual holy boldness. I've told you many, many times, friends, over the years, my main prayer in the morning is, "Lord, fill me with your blessed Holy Spirit. Endue me with power. Give me holy boldness. And give me precious souls for my hire." Friends, he will do that if you really mean it. He honestly will. And he told these disciples, look, I'm going to be with you even to the end of the age. We're not in this battle alone, dear friends. You say, well, I'm a Baptist, well, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Pentecost. I don't care what you are. If you're born again, this Matthew 28 means you and me. It speaks of snatching sinners from the doors of hell. It speaks of growing churches. I've told you this before. The first church I joined after I was saved, Reverend Tom Baird was a tickler for tithing. He believed that tithing was one of the most important things, one of the most important things we can do after we've been born again. Now, he tells us that. And of course, I had a hard time believing that because I was a baby Christian, and I didn't have any money. But I thought then, wait a minute, maybe this is the truth. Maybe that's all churches are interested in, is our money. Well, that's not true. But anyway, I remember this Sunday that Brother Tom got up and he said, I'm looking for 5 tithing families to go out and to start a church in this part of the town, or a mission, and to grow it into a church. Did you know 5 families got up and came forward and said, we'll go? Over the years, Brother Tom did that. Every other year or so, he would do that. And did you know that 5 churches came out of that one church, bigger than the mother church? See, when we do what we're supposed to do and we obey the Great Commission, we will grow churches. Now, I think people are more involved in how pretty the building is than how spiritual the church is. Now, we really want good carpeting in our church, and we want the very best organ that money can buy. We want the choir to all dress in their choir robes, and we want this and we want that. Beloved, listen, that's all right. And I'm not knocking carpeting in a church. We ought to make it as presentable as could be. But people get so they actually worship the church. They're proud of their church. They're proud of their pastor. But how about Jesus? If they really, really were the kind of people that God wants us to be, they would be interested in helping people and starting other churches. How does a call for ending spectator Christianity? There's a lot of people in there looking, but they're not doing. How can we do the work of evangelism? Well, it's very, very simple. Let's preach the gospel. You say, well, okay, all right, let's preach. What is the gospel? Well, I'll tell you what it is. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the 3rd and 4th verse. For I delivered to you, as have first importance, what I also received, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the 3rd day according to the Scriptures. Well, first of all, we have to have the death, burial, resurrection. And I know this, some of you might say, oh, Cecil, you've gone too far. But listen, how can you depict the death, burial, resurrection by sprinkling? How can you depict it? He died. They put him in a barred tomb, and there he spent 3 days and 3 nights, and Christ arose the 3rd day. There's nothing better than the gospel. The gospel is better than social action, and the gospel is a lot better than political involvement. The gospel is better than religious rituals. Oh, friends, I went to a funeral. I won't tell you the name of the church. I went to a funeral not too long ago. I introduced this man to Christ, believe it or not. Anyway, I never saw so much pomp and circumstance in my life. It was, they made mockery of death. They had more spiritual religion than a circus. I was just sick. You know what we should do at a funeral? We ought to preach the gospel. I give an invitation when I preach the gospel and when I go to preach funerals. We must preach by our lives and our lips, and we must preach from the pulpit and our place of work. Now, friends, you got to be careful. Now, here you got a job. You can't sit in there and witness to people all day. You're paid to work, and the Lord expects us to work. But you can drop a hint now and then. You know what happened to me one time? I was carpentering. I was pastor of a church, and I was carpentering. And we used to sit out there in the shade of a tree and eat lunch, and about 6 or 7 or 8 of us there. And one of the guys, our foreman, said, "Hey, Mo, I understand you're a preacher." I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "You know what I believe?" I said, "No. What do you believe?" He said, "I believe man come from monkeys." I sat there for a second. I said, "You know, in your particular case, you might be right." Did you know I embarrassed him? He was making fun of my God, and he fired me on the spot. The men came to me and said, "Cecil, you go to the company and you tell him what he did," and I wouldn't do it. I know. Now I'm working for $150 a month emptying bedpans in a rest home. That's right, out in Multnomah. Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you what happened. I witnessed, I did a lot of soul winning and evangelism in that rest home, and I stayed faithful, and 2 or 3 months later, I don't know exactly when, my wife, when I came home, she said, "Cecil, you know that company that you used to be carpenter for?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, the owner, Sam Walsburn, came over with a whole bunch of plans for his houses, and he wants you to bid those houses for." I was contracting siding, but when I worked for him, I worked by the hour. I took those plans and sat down and go ahead and give him a price. Friends, I went from $150 a month to $1,500 a week. God honored my stand for him. Let's plead with sinners. Have we forgotten that sinners do go to hell? Do we care? God does. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Oh, friends, the cross says God cares about sinners going to hell, and you and I should too. The urgent message must have priority again. Now, it tells us in Ephesians 4:12, let's perfect the saints. And it says in Ephesians 4:12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, let the saints be perfected by evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Well, why perfect the saints? Well, to do the work of the ministry, to motivate them to soul winning, to equip them to disciple new converts. Friends, listen. I know a lot of Christians that have been Christians for 10, 15, 20 years, who have told me they have never in their life ever witnessed to anybody about Christ. They've told me they have never tried to lead a soul to Christ. There's something wrong in your walk, and I'm not condemning you. I'm saying that if you are trying to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, God will teach you. He said, make disciples of all nations. We need to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he said, I'll be with you to the end. Now, you know what? When you're out witnessing to someone, the Lord has already worked on that person. If you pray tonight, Lord, lead me to a soul tomorrow, and you really mean it, he will lead you to a soul. And he'll give you the words. You don't have to worry what you're going to have to say. He'll give you the words. Believe me, if I depended upon my education or my ability to speak, I'd be up the creek. He gives you the words. He tells you what to say. And then, you know what the hardest part, I guess, is? Pulling the net. As you probably, if you've ever done any fishing, I'm not a great fisherman, I'll guarantee you, but I have done some fishing in Alaska. Boy, where fish are big. Well, anyway, when you're fishing for bass, big mouth bass or little mouse or crappies or whatever, when they start nibbling the line, you wait, and then pretty soon you set the hook, and you got that boy. You've got him, and you bring him in. Well, when we're witnessing to people, now we have to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and he will tell us when to draw the net. It tells us in Matthew 4:19, all believers are to be fishers of men. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You're not a born soul winner. You're not a born fisher of men. You have to learn. Now, the disciples learned under the greatest teacher of them all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when he led that lady to the Lord at the well? Oh, my stars in the morning. They couldn't believe that a Samaritan would speak to a Jew. He led her to Christ. And remember what he said? I must needs go through this particular part of the country. The disciples couldn't figure out why he had to do it. Well, because there was a precious soul there that he had to lead to Christ. Remember when Paul and them were out there and on the river bank, and they were having a prayer meeting, and this lady come and she accepted Christ. We need to be conscious of the fact that almost everybody around us are lost, unless you're in church, and sometimes a lot of them are lost. But we need to be conscious that there's a need today. Life goes on, and life is not as long as some people might think. Fishermen must expect to catch fish, or they wouldn't go fishing, would they? Same way with a soul winner. We have to do the same thing. We must give people the opportunity to accept Christ. How should we pull the net? Well, it's very simple. Pull the net carefully and prayerfully, the Bible says. Pull the net as led by the Holy Spirit of God. Pull the net repeatedly and expectantly. Now, don't go out there and just stand out there and look goofy. Let them know why you're there. Let them know what you're there for. Well, friends, in conclusion, evangelism will set the church afire. I told you people a long time ago that I used to take laymen and laywomen, husband and wife teams, and I'd take them to churches for a three-day lay revival. And I never saw so much excitement in my life. Those laymen absolutely thrilled those churches. They took about and they went visiting with their people and showed them how to introduce souls to Christ. And at night they'd share their testimonies. Boy, I tell you, I've got letters after letters in my case here from pastors who said, I'll tell you, Cecil, we will never forget you and your evangelistic lay team. Well, an evangelism will also unite believers. You know, the first time I ever was at a lay-led revival, there was a couple, about eight people come from Texas to our church, and they put on a three-day revival. And I tell you, it really opened my eyes, and then that's when I said to my pastor, why can't we do that? So I bought a motorhome, and we'd load up our Laban and we'd go. Oh, friends, many, many souls will be in heaven because of those trips. Evangelism will require a call to a new commitment. Friend, listen, let me ask you. Now, don't get mad at me, but have you ever tried to lead a soul to Christ? Have you ever tried to witness for Jesus? Listen, go to your church and see if you've got some good gospel tracts. And when you go to a restaurant, you leave a tip. You leave it inside of that gospel tract. And I always witness to the waiters and waitresses. And you don't have to, don't embarrass them. Don't make a big scene. And it don't take no 4 hours to tell them about Jesus. You can do it in a heartbeat. It takes me about 3 minutes to tell them that I was an alcoholic. And one night, my wife and I had this terrible argument. She told me to leave, or she was leaving. And I said, I got a call to preach out of bed 3 o'clock in the morning. And I told him I was going to commit suicide. And he told me the greatest love story I ever heard in my life, that Jesus loved me and Christ died for me. Well, dear friends, you can do that too. Baby, I'm glad you're not an alcoholic, but if you are, use it. Well, friends, I want to pray tonight for those of you who really would like to make a commitment to trying to win souls to Christ. Dear Father in heaven, I just pray for those listening tonight who are born again, blood-bought. Sins are underneath the blood and their names written in the Lamb Book of Life. I pray, Father, that tonight they will surrender their life, put their all on the altar and say, Lord, I don't know what I'm, not much, but here I am. Lord, use me and help me to witness and introduce souls to Christ. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'd like to hear from you. Now, you say, well, Cecil, you know, I'm not even a Christian. Well, you need to be. You need to be born again before anything like this happens. Now, if you have a little old tugging at your heart, and you say, you know, Cecil, my life has been so bad. Nothing's ever happened. I've always been a loser. I'd like to know Jesus and know my sins were under his blood and that I can go to heaven when I die. If so, here's a prayer that you can pray that'll change your life. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for all the things that I've done against you and against my family. Tonight, Lord, I'm giving you my heart. I'm asking you to come in to be my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, call 303-471-8534. No, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. And dear friends, I sure don't care where you go to church. What I'm concerned about is whether you're going to go to heaven or not. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, give me a call. Call me collect. I'll accept it. My phone number is 303-471-8534.
Can Where he was, love was there also. Where he went, love showed the way. Those who saw knew he was holy. And I see what they saw to this very day. Oh, he came special, delivery, wrapped up in love, bound by a promise, sealed by a dove, filled with the Spirit, carried by grace. You knew where he was going by the look on his face. And when I'm called, I will go gladly. I will not grieve for the past, for I know where I'll be going. For I will be going to see him at last. I'm going special, delivery, wrapped up in love, bound by a promise.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Dear friends, I would appreciate it if you'd remember me and my blood sugar, and I'm trying to get it down. Sure been out of control. God can heal. Hey, friends, you know I know that. He healed me one time when doctors gave me up to die. Pray for me and pray for my wife. Pray for my New Grace Quartet as we go to prisons at God will use us and bless us and pray for our women's work. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. I'll keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night and may God bless you real, real good.